Welcome to this brand new episode of the Marketing Technology Podcast. This podcast is hosted by Mark van Horek and myself, Elias Krum. We're both from Marketing Guys, a MarTech agency based out of the Netherlands. Welcome to this brand new episode of the Marketing Technology Podcast. Today we have Xenia Montan. She's the CEO of Planable.io. I'd like to give you a warm welcome. Welcome, Xenia.
Thank you so much, Elias, for having me on the show. I'm excited to talk to you guys.
It's actually the first time we have someone from the Forbes 30 Under 30 list on our podcast. So we're delighted today. could you explain a little about, particularly that background, and explain tell the listeners a little more about yourself?
Sure, of course. Happy to do that. So I'm the CEO and co-founder of Planable, and I started the company about 4 years ago, and it's all going to lead to Forbes 30 under 30, I promise, but I need to give you guys a bit of context. So I started the company about 4 years ago, and back then I actually had an agency. I had a social media marketing agency, and that's, you know, when I discovered the problem that we're solving today at Planable. And I think that's the best way for any wannabe entrepreneurs to start a company, you know, just trying to solve your own problems. Mm-hmm. And I realized back then in my agency time that it was so complicated to collaborate with clients. We were using spreadsheets and PowerPoints, and we were discussing the content, the posts for Facebook and like Twitter and then Instagram. When we're discussing those posts and those schedules on email, it was that never ending back and forth. And I felt like so much time was just being wasted because of that inefficient process. And I was looking for tools. I tried a bunch of tools, a bunch of social media management tools out there, and I didn't feel like any of them were actually solving my workflow issues, the way I was communicating with my team, the way approvals were being managed, feedback. And I felt like, you know, we marketers as an industry deserve a better way to do it. And that's how Planable actually got started. And we've been building it for the past 4 years, trying to help marketers streamline the way they work together on content. And, you know, as a typical startup, we went through accelerators. We went through a few investment rounds. And, you know, Forbes 30 Under 30 has been a huge inspiration for me. I was always following who was on the top, you know, looking into their companies, getting inspiration from them. And I think that was like a dream list for me always. Mm-hmm. And I remember that I met in one of the programs, startup program that I attended, one that happened during the Cannes Festival in France, mm-hmm. The Advertising Creativity Festival. I remember I met someone that was on the list. She was together with me in that, you know, startup program. And I remember that I was like, you know, I asked her, how did she get into the program? That, you know, it's amazing. And I remember that a piece of advice she gave me that was very straightforward was that, you know, I applied. That's the first step. And I realized that I never nominated myself, or I never asked anyone to nominate myself on the list. And that was, you know, the first step that we did. And I know that it sounds very like cliche, but, you know, you gotta, you know, to win the lottery, you need to buy a ticket.
Absolutely. I was going to say that.
Yeah. Absolutely. So, you know, I nominated myself, and I know that, you know, so many people are just like, they shy away from nominating themselves or their own company in all kinds of awards. But I mean, you got to do it. You know, if you're not going to fight for your company, who else is going to? So I nominated myself. I obviously asked her to write a recommendation for me. And yeah, she did. She you know, put in a good word for us. And I think, you know, it just happened from the first application that we made. It kind of happened. And, you know, I realized that sometimes you might just be, you know, under the radar of things like that, and you just gotta, you know, put yourself on their map. And yeah, that's kind of how Forbes 30 Under 30 happened. I mean, of course, you know, you need to have a strong profile, and you need to have achievements to tell, and you know, you need to kind of build build that case for you.
Of course, of course. But you're not going to let anyone in.
Yes, of course, of course. Yes, but at the same time, you gotta apply and you gotta build, you know, a good application. You gotta network it. Like with every, you know, our award out there, you know, similar awards like that. It's like a very networking thing. So yeah.
Absolutely. So that's a good piece of advice, I think, for the listeners as well, because we have a lot of agency owners and vendors of all kinds of MarTech solutions listening to the podcast. And the good piece of advice you're giving here is that nominate yourself. Make sure they find you. You have to apply yourself to get nominated. And I think a lot of times people just forget it. You know, they don't have time for it. They're working on their daily business and forget about what it could mean, because it really has helped you in your business being nominated on this list?
Of course. I'm in this podcast right now, right?
Absolutely.
So, you know, it does help you with stuff like that. It does give you credibility. It does, you know, kind of, it's like a stamp of approval. And just the prestige of Forbes, I think it kind of validates your work in a way. I think that's the biggest thing that it helps with. And you're also then part of their community of Forbes 30 Under 30 honoree. Uh-huh. They have like a forum, they have an app, they have a bunch of events for Forbes 30 Under 30 honoree. It does help a lot, but more than anything, it does help with the credibility part.
Great. So obviously, as you touched the subject a little, you have accomplished a lot, because Planable, and the website I'll put in the show notes, it's planable.io actually. Planable has numerous customers and very, I would say, big brands are using your solution, and you've only been around for a couple of years. So it's amazing that brands like Volkswagen and BMW and Costa Coffee, et cetera, are using your software. So could you explain to the listeners what Planable actually makes stand out apart from the other social media platforms? Because there's a lot of platforms around there, you know, everybody knows them, like Sprout, Buffer, maybe even Hootsuite or Octopus. Yeah. So what is it that you do different, and why are those brands using your platform?
Yeah, that's a very good question. I think what sets us apart from all the other social media management tools is the fact that we are designed with teams in mind. Hootsuite and Buffer and all the other companies, they created those tools, 7-10 years ago, when social media management was something that it was usually a one-man show. So you had one person in charge of, doing social media, either, you know, someone, the head of PR, or you were just giving it to an intern. Mm-hmm. Now social media involves, from the intern to the head of PR, it involves everyone in a team. You know, there's many more, the headcount of social media has grown a lot. So collaboration has become crucial. And that's why tools like Planable to help with workflow and operations and collaboration are becoming more and more important and crucial for the efficiency of a team and the productivity of a team. And that's, you know, why we focus more than anything. So we don't do stuff like analytics or listening or monitoring. We care more about the performance of your team. And we know that there's a bunch of other tools out there that you can use to measure the performance of your content. We focus on the humans behind marketing, and we try to help them be as proactive as possible and to kind of like help the audience understand what the product actually does. It's a space where you can create posts, you can visualize them as though they're actually live. So you get live previews of the posts, which is, I think, one of the biggest differences compared to all the other platforms. And that was kind of intended, because we knew that in order to communicate efficiently, everyone needs to see the same thing and not rely on imagination. You know, how is this post actually going to look like in the end? And that's, you know, the biggest thing that we do. And that also helps with the agency client relationship to present work in a way that the client help the client see the work. And then it's all about collaboration. It's all about approvals. It's all about planning. And I think the section where we overlap with all the other social media management tools is the publishing part. So once you're happy with all the content that you have in Planable, you can also schedule it for later. And that's the part where most of the other tools, we overlap with them. So that's kind of how I see Planable compared with all the other players in the space.
So there's actually two problems you solve there. Is the first of all, the collaboration that you're talking about, that teams are obviously working together now, especially during these times where everybody's working remote. And to get like a beautiful post out, you need to sometimes collaborate with your colleagues and maybe get an approval. And that's one thing, one of the features I like in your solution is that you actually could have, let's say, an approval level in it, because it right. happened to all of us where you basically would send out a LinkedIn or Facebook or Twitter update, and you found out that there's a mistake in it, so you have to correct it. So having different kinds of approvals would really help me, for example, because as with a lot of people, you like to have stuff out fast, and when you know if you're working fast, you make mistakes. Everybody knows that, but for the sake of time, you're just pressing the button publish, yeah. And that's where errors come in.
Right, so right.
Nice thing. One of the things that I always find hard, or that I find that marketers have trouble with, is getting, let's say, those beautiful posts, because when you're putting out an update on LinkedIn, it looks pretty neat when you make it within LinkedIn, like on your LinkedIn timeline or your company timeline. How do you make sure that the posts are actually designed the way they are meant to be on that social platform? Do you have like displays? How is that even?
I love this question so much. So that's actually a hard thing to do, because with LinkedIn, it's a bit more doable. But think about Facebook, how often they change the layout. They change the layout every day. And you don't even know that they change the layout every day, because they like test on so many audiences out there. So that is incredibly hard to do and incredibly hard to follow. What are the tweaks and small changes that Facebook does to carousel posts, let's say, and the way it looks? And we have to follow all of that. We have to carefully follow all the changes they do, all the updates they do, and always incorporate them in our own platform, because we want posts to look pixel perfect to the final version. So that's, you know, that's exactly how, you know, it looks planned, but we might have a delay, right? Because, you know, Facebook doesn't announce launches, so you have to follow it closely. So we might, you know, we might actually find from our own community, from our own users, that, you know, something changed, and then we take, you know, a few couple of days to implement it. But the display is most of the time really accurate to the final version on any of the major formats of posts on Facebook and so on LinkedIn. And I love this question so much, because especially with LinkedIn, but also with other platforms as well, like if you don't see how your post is actually going to look like in the end, if you just, you know, schedule on some, you know, publishing tool that doesn't display, doesn't allow you to see a mock-up of your post, mm-hmm. especially on LinkedIn, you might get those. Do you remember like those, when you have a photo that doesn't match the size requirements, the dimensions requirements of LinkedIn?
Yeah, they would blow it up.
Yeah, and or you get those like gray bars on the
there.
Yeah, and it looks awful.
Yeah,
and you know, I remember that I was doing some research for this purpose. You know, even big brands do that mistake, right? And that's because you don't have the bandwidth to check how every post is going to look like on every single platform. Because, you know, some of the posts, you duplicate them across all platforms and you don't get the chance to actually visualize how they're going to look like. And then you realize, you know, 1 week later that your LinkedIn feed looks not in its best way. So yeah, that's something that we try to educate our audience, and we also try to really help them out in a very easy and simple way. And you know, it's so funny that before Planable in my agency life, the way I was trying to solve that problem was by having like I had unpublished Facebook pages. Mm-hmm. And for like test purposes, and I was going in there, and you don't know, I spoke with so many social media managers in the past 4 years, and you'd be wowed about how many of them have an unpublished test page for exactly that purpose of like testing how a post would look like. And I was taking a screenshot of those posts and sending it to clients, you know, that's how it's going to look like.
Yeah.
And so many, you know, marketers out there do have, you know, a Facebook page like that to test it. But then you can't have a Twitter page and a LinkedIn page and an Instagram page to verify every single post how it's going to look like. And that's one major problem that we try and solve.
Well, and a lot of, let's say, problems that social media managers will run into are also covered in your blog. So you have a blog which is on Planable.io with tons of tips on, let's say, those hands-on how-to tips, like how to merge two Facebook pages, how to, you know, which Instagram marketing tools do you need to check, etc. So that brings me to a couple of, let's say, nitty questions here that I have.
Sure. You
know, one of the, you know, I noticed on your website, and obviously that's a headache a lot of marketers have, is how can we start using those planning tools or collaboration tools for Instagram? Is there any outlook when we can start working on Instagram, using your tool on Instagram?
Yeah, well, we do support Instagram as well. And actually for Instagram, we have a few special functionalities designed, you know, with Instagram in mind, with visual marketing in mind.
Okay.
And one of those features that I love the most, and you know, I actually use it for myself, is planning, you know, your grid. That is essential, I think, for every Instagram marketer out there. You know, carefully planning your grid is a must-have in every tool out there nowadays.
Absolutely.
And so many social media management tools, you know, including the ones that you mentioned in the beginning, don't have that.
No.
And when we do support that, you know, allowing users to plan their grid to perfection, play the layout, plan the layout, see how it's going to look like, tweak it, try and, you know, design those banner type of things or whatever type of creativity they want to do with their grid that's possible inside Planable.
Absolutely.
That's one of the things that we, you know, designed specifically for Instagram. And then something else that we did with Instagram in mind is also stories. So besides planning posts and Planable, you can also work on stories. That's like a format of content that we also support for Instagram. Yeah.
Now they brought out Reels.
That's something we need to implement as well.
Of course.
But you know, you gotta have as many formats as possible in one single place. You don't want to, you know, spread yourself thin across multiple tools.
Cool. So that's really helpful. And the other question I had there that's actually a question for multiple social platforms. But when you design an update within the social media platform itself, let's say on LinkedIn, and you would like to tag someone, it automatically brings up that person. So if I would like to bring you up, it's like if I start typing an update and it's at Xenia, I will show up your profile and I can tag you.
Yeah.
Are those kinds of things possible within any of the tools that we mentioned?
Yeah, that's a good question. So after specifically, I'll talk about Facebook more on this point. So after Cambridge Analytica, so many things changed, especially with Facebook's API. So that was possible before in a very seamless way, very easy.
Yep.
But now through the API, you can't basically ask them to give, you know, that suggestion list, right? When you start typing and you're getting like a suggestion drop down where you see, you know, the pages that might match what you're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't give you that. And the only way you can tag other profiles, other pages, is if you know their their ID, their name in the link, right? It's like Facebook .com/ the name of the page. So yeah, you need that ID in order to tag it. So you basically need like the exact way Facebook registers your page. So you need to give that the way you can tag it. But it is still possible in a way. Partially, it's very partial, and sometimes it might work with the API, sometimes it might not work. That's I think with every social media management platform out there, us included, being dependent and building something on top of Facebook and building something on top of all the other platforms, you got to work with what you have. And it's an inconvenience sometimes. You don't get everything you need to build value for your users, but it is what it is. You got to work with the APIs. Yeah,
absolutely. But it makes perfect sense, because I noticed it myself, and probably a lot of marketers will have noticed it when they're using any of the tools, including Blendable. You can't do that, but I never understood why, but you perfectly explained why. And it's especially given that Cambridge Analytica thing.
Yeah. It's like a privacy type of
thing.
Yeah.
It's perfectly understandable that you can do it. So now that we know it, it makes it a little more acceptable, I would say.
Yeah. a bit more empathy towards the tools, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So, and I didn't understand why, but now I do. And our listeners do. So that's actually pretty cool. So when you look at Plannable within the marketing stack, so every marketer, Gartner brings out these reports on a yearly basis, but let's say that the average marketer uses around 30 tools within their stack. How does Plannable compare to those tools, and how does it stack into other tools?
Right. So at the moment, we don't integrate ourselves with all the other tools. To be honest, we look towards our own customer base for suggestions and requests in terms of what they need Plannable to integrate with. And so far, we received more requests about adding more social media platforms rather than getting ourselves integrated with other tools out there. I think the only major request in terms of integrations and getting ourselves into the tech stack of marketers is probably Slack, so that they can potentially receive notifications about what's happening inside Plannable. Though we do have quite a robust notification system that they can receive notifications over email directly in the app, or desktop notifications, browser notifications. But Slack is probably the only one that stood out in the integration space. And I think it's it also makes sense considering the nature of the platform. We just cover the workflow of social media managers end to end, from ideating on the post towards publishing it in the end. We might like integrate with analytics tools, but they can pull the data directly from the platform. So there's no reason we need to send them that data when they can take it directly from the platforms. There might be some kind of things like that we could do in terms of integrations with analytics tools. Like we might send them the data of what category, what type of topic, because you can label posts based on campaigns and products and topics inside Plannable. So we might send them that data so that they can correlate it with performance and tell you, that posts about this or posts about that perform better. That's something we could potentially do. And there's a bunch of other ideas in terms of integrations that we're obviously, exploring. But more than anything, we look at our customer base, what they need, what they're struggling with. And seems like, integrations are not something top of mind for them. There's others, issues that they care more about, like the tagging thing that you mentioned, and getting direct Instagram publishing, which is, again, something that we cannot do because of the API. I think that's kind of like our story and or our point of view on integrations and the tech stack.
Okay, so the reason I found that most marketers would like to have basically all kinds of integrations, usually isn't clear. So they don't know why they want it. They need to have everything there. And so there's like a best of breed solution like Planable. But I hear a couple of reasons from marketers why they would want to integrate, let's say, a platform for social media with their marketing automation. So number one could be to see how much a social post contributed to a conversion, for example. And the other one would be ROI purposes. But both cases also could be solved or probably will be solved by using the right UTM tags, et cetera. So, and exactly. I still see a lot of marketers not using UTM. Whereas if you would like to visualize your data, show your attribution, show ROI, that's where everything starts, right? So no matter which tool you're using, if you're not using UTM, you're probably not going to be able to measure results and ROI.
Yeah, that is correct. I can't agree more with that.
Yeah, so that's why we try to educate a little to marketers, because you know they hear from all kinds of vendors that everything needs to be integrated, but I didn't find the reason. There is a couple of reasons, but
there are reasons. Yeah. Sometimes it is meaningful. And I think that's when you actually need, you know, integrations, when there's no other way to do it. But, you know, as I mentioned with Planable, there's other ways you can solve that problem. I feel that most of the times integrations is like something nice to have to position yourself enterprise. It's like a check mark that you need to that you have to have on the checklist of enterprise procurement processes, rather than something. Sometimes it's not very meaningful.
So first things first, and start using UTMs, because I see a lot of marketers still not using those. Now, if you're not using those, but that's actually where Planable could be very useful, and we find that with social media planning tools as well, because you can basically design the tools for your colleagues to get them published, and you as a marketer could implement the UTM tags, etc. They don't have to care about it, and you're making sure as a marketer that it's used across the company, right?
Exactly. And that is actually, remember that's actually one feature request that is quite on top of our list, automatically adding UTMs to posts, to links, so that you don't have to remember every time to do that. Planable will do that automatically for you. That's something that we're actually looking into. And that's something that I consider, you know, valuable for our users and meaningful, and that would actually solve the problem of, you know, always having to remember what, you know, to add UTM. Sometimes you might forget.
Yep, absolutely. So are there any developments that you're expecting for the rest of 2020 that are going to impact, or that you have on your roadmap that you would like to share with the listeners?
Yeah. So I think one of the major things that we're looking at doing inside Planable is obviously a big project that we have is improving the onboarding process. We feel like, especially with many social media management tools out there, the onboarding is, you know, could be definitely improved. And in our own tool, it is the same. So that's something, a big part that we wanna improve, to make it as seamless as possible, to just, you know, take that spreadsheet that you've been working in before Planable and, you know, transfer it directly to Planable in a very easy and seamless way, and, you know, have all your posts in Planable in a few seconds. Or switch from a different tool as well. That's a good use case as well. So that's one thing, one major thing that we're working in the next few quarters. And also one thing that we've already launched is kind of collaboration with external users that are not unplannable. Sometimes you might want to share like a one-time ad hoc post with your, I don't know, legal team, let's say. You don't want to have your legal team inside Planable, but maybe once you have that very, very sensitive post that you're not sure about, and you want to, you know, just get an approval from them first. So, you know, you're already able to share like a public secret public link. That's how we call it. So it's secret. You shouldn't share it with anyone else, but it is like public because you can give it to someone and they would visualize the content. Like with public Google Docs, that's a good analogy. So you'd share it and someone else that doesn't have an account on Planable, they could, you know, see it and comment on it and approve it. Cool. And we want to go even further with that, being able to share a list of posts, being able to share the way you're working inside Planable. So, you know, trying to improve the collaboration process even further.
Cool. So some of the other tools, I can't remember which ones exactly, but they also have like ambassador rankings, like who's your best ambassador online. Do you offer those kinds of tools as well, or those kinds of functionalities?
So that would, I think that would fall in the community management piece of tools. Usually most of the times you can see like who's your most active fan and who's, you know, talking about you most of the times. And we don't have that because we don't support community management at all. So we don't go into, we focus more on the content side rather than the management, social media management side, if that makes sense. Like we see ourselves as a content collaboration platform and not as a social media management platform. And that's why we're things that go into managing the social media platforms, like community listening, monitoring, you know, customer service on social, we don't do those. We do the content part of the social. And direction we actually want to evolve into is collaboration for any type of content, not just social media posts. And that's why, you know, we don't want to become, you know, another buffer or another Hootsuite.
No. Okay. Okay, cool. That's fair enough. Mark, do you have any additional questions here? Because we're sitting apart from each other today, so I can't see you.
Of course, yes. I got a huge amount of questions.
So, yes, go ahead.
I hope the listeners don't mind that this will be an extended version of the Marketing Technology Podcast. What I would like to focus on, because there's a lot of, let's say, the first part of this podcast is very much focused very much on, I call it the sexy part. Why do I call it the sexy part? Because that's the result. You can see it on the social media. It's the content creation. I would like to focus in this part more on the non-sexy part, the thing that you have to do before you get it. And that's what's in your name. It's the planning part. Yeah. It's the, yeah. I use Sprout Social, for instance, and so what I've see here is that you're like a social version of CoSchedule. I'm not sure if you know.
Yes, I know CoSchedule. Yes, they do like planning for you know, blog and events.
Yes.
And basically all your marketing activities. Yes.
Yes.
And that's a good analogy. They do social event as well, but we're like the, you know, the in-depth social version of CoSchedule. Yes, that's correct.
Yeah. So what you do, and what I call is the non-sexy part, is that it's a lot of work. And what you said, it's going over the whole workflow process. And I think although people can go to the website, but they're listening now, and they might be curious to know how that works. Just give some frustrations. We're working on a plan, and a plan, except Hannibal from the A-team, I love it when a plan comes together. Usually plans change.
Yeah.
If there's a change, how easy can Planable make your life easier to make these changes like seamlessly, without friction? That's the good word, friction. And what I also noticed is another pain point is that there, you've got one version, somebody changed it. So we've got version number two, and then we've got version number three. And then at the end, which of these versions is the right one? And which of these versions are we going to send to the client? And which of these versions did the client approve? And if we mix that up, we've just sent something or we posted something that the customer didn't want to have because there was something in it that had to be changed. So all that part. And I also have a second question, but let's go on the workflow part, because I think that that's really where the true beauty of Planable is.
Yes, I that's such a great question. So let's talk about how you would plan content without Planable. So especially now when everyone is working remotely, how would you do that? There's two ways you would do that. You'd either have a generic tool like spreadsheets, Excel, or the newer one, Airtable, for example. I'm not sure if you guys know about Airtable. Or just a plain Google Doc where you would just have all the content, you'd plan it. Most of the time, it's actually a table, it's a spreadsheet. You plan all the content, you have like one column for text, one column for the link of the image or of the asset, and you'd have to link, because you can't, you know, embed images nicely in an Excel, and you'd have a link that would, you know, take you to some drive folder where you would store all your files. We'd have a column for the date and a column for comments or, you know, labels like this post is part of this campaign or this post is part of this content pillar that we're talking about. You'd share that file around, comments would be made on it. You'd have different, you know, edits. If you want to go back to a previous version of that post, that wouldn't be possible. And when everything is approved, you'd also have to do a lot of copy pasting from that tool to natively scheduling on the platforms or to some scheduling tool out there. If you don't use Excel and you're using like Sprout Social or Buffer or Hootsuite, you'd plan all the content in there. And when it would come to actually discussing the content, you'd use some other tool like email or Slack where you would say, you know, have you seen that post? What do you think about it? Or, you know, the third post with the dog picture, you know, I think we need to change that and that. But the communication would be like broken. You'd have one place where you would have content and you'd have a different place where you would talk about the content. And that's one major, major problem that Planable solves, because you have the posts and right next to the posts, you have the comment section where you discuss and gather feedback and centralize the feedback process. And it's right next to the post where it makes sense the most. And it's kind of think about Google Docs and how you have comments on the side right next to the text itself. That's, you know, how we do it in Planable as well. And the conversation is very centralized. It's very gathered around the post. You can resolve feedback that you've implemented. And we also have the version history where if you changed anything by mistake, or if you, you know, love the previous version of a post more, you can go back in time, you can preview all versions and you can restore the one that you were looking for. So we archive every single version, even if you like deleted a dot or deleted one letter, which we store every single version of that post, so you can go back and restore it if you need it. And, you know, the approval also happens right next to the post itself. So everything is in context. And I feel like that's when the best work happens, when you don't need to, you know, get outside of your environment where you create the content and you work with the content in the same place. You manage the content, you talk to the team, you communicate on the content right where the content has been produced. And you do not have that, you know, what I call else environment. Else environment is like when you do everything else, when you do everything in one place, and you, but else you have to, you know, go to Slack or to email to, you know, discuss the posts. And I think that's, you know, I'm not sure if I answered your question.
Oh yeah, definitely. I think that a lot of listeners can relate to this. If you could put like an estimation this friction part, what most of the agencies and most of the companies are doing, as exactly as how you described it, how much benefit, how much time gain would you get by removing this friction? Would you think that the project management or project processes would be like 10% easier, or you can get things done in 10% quicker, or is it even more, or how would you?
Yeah, it is actually more. So we talked to our customers. We asked them this, you know, same question, because you know we do not have the before data, so we know how fast they're working right now, but we don't have the before data to compare. So we asked them, you know, to compare. You know, we talked to them about how much time they're taking right now. We looked at our own data, and we asked them, you know, to compare with what was happening before Planable. And we got answers ranging from anywhere from 20 to 30% of time saved on content planning specifically. And, you know, it sounds, at first it sounds like a big number, but when you think about trying to gather feedback, like if you work with clients and you have 10 clients and all of them give you, one is giving you, you know, feedback over the phone, another one is giving you feedback over email, another one is like sending you a document with feedback, and you're trying to match that feedback with the exact post they're talking about. And sometimes it's not very specific, right? They're like in column AB 152, that specific post in that spreadsheet. That's the more specific way of giving feedback. But some, you know, don't give feedback in a specific way. They don't refer very easily to a post, and you need to figure out what post was it. And, you know, just the back and forth, the copy pasting that I mentioned, the formatting of the spreadsheet so that it looks nice and professional. Again, there's a lot of tedious tasks that are involved in the content planning process, and we just take them out. And we also take the most boring part out of the content planning process. And you get to do just, you know, what you love to do, just like thinking about posts and creating them. And we help with everything else that is not the sexy part.
Yes, well, I think that's absolutely one of the big advantages, because 20 to 30% time saving, listeners, just calculate that, figure it out, and then, you know, then it's a no-brainer. And now, of course, I'm coming to the second part of my question. Did Planable explode the last few months because we all had to go work remotely?
Yeah, that's a good question. So I wouldn't say that we exploded like Zoom exploded. That's very hard to top. But we have seen a growth during this entire period, which is, you know, any type of growth, I think, is amazing if you manage to achieve it. Like if your revenue doesn't go down during this entire period of time, with this economic depression, I think you're very lucky. And we have seen growth. I think we haven't seen growth as big as, you know, Zoom and other generic collaboration platforms, because we are a collaboration tool for marketers, and marketers, I think, have been impacted, you know, obviously the most as a profession specifically, because, you know, so many, I think the first budget to be cut in any economic depression is the marketing budget. And I think that's why we haven't seen, you know, growth as big as you could imagine for a collaboration tool.
Yeah, I think that's usually the issue with collaboration part. As I said, it's the non-sexy part, and it is something that people don't give a lot of thought, but it creeps in during the process. But I can imagine that with remote working forces or so, that it's more and more essential to have a good planning tool to get the work all done, because the friction that you just described, that will becomes multiplied if everybody's not sitting to each other. Because if you're in the same office or something, you can always have this chit chat between that compensates looking for where yeah. things are, etc. Another question that I had, and that is, I'm not sure if it's really relatable to you, but recently the Privacy Shield thing got shut down. And now we notice that we have a lot of questions regarding data and the data protection.
Yeah.
What kind of plannable is that? Is that an are you EU based? Is how do you do it with data processing?
Yeah, that's a good question. So we have lots of customers in the EU. We have more in the US, but we do have a big amount of customers in the EU. So we get a lot. We were getting more questions about GDPR when GDPR was about to launch May 25. I still remember. Mm-hmm. And we were getting more questions then, but we're still, getting questions about GDPR, especially from enterprise customers. That is something that we worked hard before May 25 when that was happening, and we've implemented everything. There is like deletion procedures, everything, in terms of policies is in place. But I think it doesn't relate that much for us, specifically GDPR, because there's, besides emails, and if they connect with a Facebook profile, all the data we get, from the Facebook profile, which is not that much, there's not, any other, if they upload their own avatar profile pic inside Plannable, that would be one, but there's not that much personal data that we gather from our users, because we don't need it, and everything else like posts and content, it doesn't really fall into the GDPR space. I guess that's the short answer regarding GDPR and personal data privacy. But then there's the other side of things, like security in general, which is extremely, extremely important for us, because people are planning campaigns in advance inside Plannable. And, obviously you don't want that to be, leaked or, for people to find out about your product launch before you intended to. We've seen, Buffer was hacked at some point 5 years ago or something like that. And, you see other big major pages being hacked, and on Twitter more specifically. And you see, how hackers are posting from those pages. And you don't want that to happen to you. And I think all social media managers are very, very concerned with the privacy of their own platforms. And I think by default, we do have a level of security that is just the nature of the product, which is you do not have to, like for Instagram and with Twitter, if you don't use a tool, you most probably have to share logins between each other in order to publish. If you need multiple people to be on that, to have publishing capabilities. In Plannable, the person that has access just connects to the page, and then they can give publishing rights to other people inside the team without sharing, sensitive login data. So that's by default, just the nature of the tool gives a level of security. And then we work very, very hard to just raise the bar on our security so that, no major events like that would ever happen.
Yeah, I think that's a very important part that not everybody looks at, but it's an important thing. And I think that you're absolutely right, because you gather all these data leaking moments, logins, to bring it back to just one login, and that's the login in Plannable. And yeah. Nobody else has to log in giving hackers the possibility to make use of that, because especially with agencies that have a lot of customers and they are doing that from one data leak for an agency is of course a very bad situation. So it's good to hear that you got the security in place and the privacy part is less applicable to you. So that were actually my questions. I think that we have covered a lot of Plannable today.
Absolutely. So, and one thing I would like to point out here is, actually, Xenia, you're hosting a podcast yourself, right?
Yes. Yes, I am.
So,
yes, People of Marketing. Yes.
So yeah, of course you're on the platforms as well, but we're gonna put a link to your podcast as well, so People of Marketing, go find it out, folks. So we'll make sure that we share your info, like your LinkedIn profile, in the show notes as well, so that if people want to reach out to you, or if they want to know more about Plannable, you offer a free trial as well, the where you can try the whole product, etc. So we're going to put everything in the show notes. And Xenia, thanks again for being on the show today.
I appreciate it. Thank you so much, guys. Such a great list of questions. Yeah. Thank you for doing this.
Yeah, thank you very much for all the insights you gave. So
it was a pleasure having you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And I look forward to, listening to the episode live.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Marketing Technology Podcast. If you enjoyed this podcast, please leave us a review on your favorite podcast platform or iTunes. Also, if you want to be a guest or know someone that should be a guest to our show, shoot me an email on e.crum@marketingguys.nl. Thank you for listening.